Welcome to another episode of the Beach Corp podcast. It's good to be back. You know, sometimes you record a little bit earlier and it feels like it was forever between episodes. But on this week's episode, we got to review the Toronto regional results. It's been a while since we've been on. That regional happened. And we're going to take a deep dive into the Paradox Rift meta. It's going to be some fun discussions, talk about some difficult questions about the meta, and provide you our tier list for next weekend's Latin American International Championships, the first IC of the season. I'm joined, as always, by Maddox Corcoran and Parker Greenwald. You guys excited for LAIC?
I'd be very excited if I was going, but unfortunately, I did not get the registration.
Yeah. Thanks. So Parker's actually not saying for this episode. He just wanted to say he's not interested and he's departing now.
I'll say yes.
He's out of here. He's out of here. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, LAIC is going to be wild, but everyone's chasing, you know, stipends or points and just trying to, you know, get that cash, get that dough. The first IC, what is it now? 20K for first?
25K.
$25,000 for first.
You get a grand for top 64 as well.
Isn't it 2 grand? Oh, no.
We're all assuming you get paid out.
There's like 2 grand. Yeah.
True that. True
that. I think it's like 2 grand for top 64.
I think it is 2 grand, actually.
Yeah.
Top 64.
Yeah. So chase that bag, you know, out down in Brazil. But let's take a look at the Toronto results. JW Creewall won with Maridon. Maridon got its first, you know, first big victory. What do you guys think about that?
I mean, that's just the deck that, you know, you set up 95% of your games, you know, probably going to do all right as long as you're a pretty good pilot and everything. And it's his third regional win, I heard. So, like, congrats to him, obviously.
Yeah,
one of the greats.
Oh, of course. I mean, JW and Jesse and that whole crew has been running Maridon and seeing success with it all format. We knew that they were due. It was just the right, getting the right matchups and getting the right luck to go the right way and, you know, able to take down, you know, really talented Gardevoir play in finals. And just, you know, it's a tough matchup for the deck. But again, just like Parker said, like when you're setting up 95% of the time and maybe you can stick a path, maybe a judge messes them up a little bit, like you can just get ahead and make it too hard for them to catch up.
So let's ask a real question about, you guys watched the finals match, I assume. I know Maddox, you did. Parker, did you watch the full finals match yet?
I was working actually, but I heard there's like, I guess like he bricked kind of.
Yeah. So game one, he kind of bricked. Game two, his prizes weren't great. He prized like 2 Ralts. I know his first deck search. He probably figured that out, but it really looked like, you know, his second turn, he went to go find the Mirage Step Curlia and it wasn't there. Was it just me, or do you think he didn't check that?
I have no clue.
I mean, I think, again, right, you know, it's tough to see it happen on the final stage, but I just think whenever there's so much going on, you've been playing, again, right, this isn't, oh, man, I'm, you know, everyone's sitting back home in their chair being like, man, I would have checked Mirage Step Curly if it was in the deck, but, right, you know, I mean, you know, these guys have been playing for hours and hours, all weekend. Yeah. Right, you know, far from home, on stage, the lights on, game two, you got to come back, you're trying to play quick. Like, I mean, sometimes you just miss those things. And just unfortunate that, you know, you play your one of and it says, man, this is the perfect turn to Mirage Step, and it says, ooh, it's not there. And that's just, you know, that's sometimes it's part of Pokemon. That's, you know, why we talk about prize checking and why so many players put such a high emphasis on it.
Yeah, it's such a you know, very underutilized skill that people don't talk about enough, but I think is very vital in the game of Pokemon. You know, you build the best 60 card deck you can, and you know, turn one, you've lost 6 cards. It's like, holy moly, you know, that's an unfortunate thing about Pokemon. Taking a look at the top 8 here, Azul, congratulations Azul, another top 8. This time with Charizard. Did not expect Azul and their crew to be on Charizard. What do you think about that?
Well, we were talking about it on last time's podcast about like, will Charizard finally make top 8 in North America? And it turns out if you know, the best player in the game happens to play the deck, you know, he has a pretty good shot at top 8, I guess.
You know, you might have to run back the tape, but I think at Maddox TCG of the Beach Court podcast said top 8 for Charizard.
Yeah,
pretty sure that was in it. But I mean, right, it just took a good finish. I think that it's seen success all along. And right, you mean Azul going 9-0, winning all of his sets 2-0 in day one. Just like, I mean, again, when you're running well, you're in a good spot. I mean, and positioned very well to make top 8 and was able to stay there. I know that, you know, Grant Manley on his crew was also had winnings to top yeah. eight and didn't quite get there. I mean, you know, could have been a couple of Zards, I think, pretty easily in top eight just with how well they're going. They took a little different approach, right? Taking the Arvin Zard style from Curitiba regional, but then really said, hey, in most matchups as they went throughout the day, they started just always going second. Yeah. They said Charizard's a deck. If you get set up and are able to get moving, then you win most of the time. So why not just go second, get access to Arvin, get your VIP pass pretty much every time.
Yeah, pretty wild. And Hermione, back-to-back top eights with Lost Gudra.
Gudra.
Is Gudra still good? Or it's the good Gudra again?
God. Like I was saying earlier, like on the other podcast, it takes pretty positive matchups, I think. You know, like colorless Lugia, Zard, and all that stuff. Like Chen Pao, Gardy, even Maridon, I guess, can just blow it up with their unlimited damage. But
right.
But outside of that, yeah, like pretty good matchups. And, you know, like half the field's good. Half the field is winnable. Scary, but is winnable.
It just says how diverse the meta is. And I think we keep saying that, you know, every week. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as we get in the Paradox Rift, we'll jump into that in a minute. It's just adding more decks to it, right? That's what it feels like. It just, there is no, you know, there is no meta defining set, you know, like Silver Tempest when Lugia just comes out and dominates, you know, 30%+ of the meta and just overwhelmingly, you know, annoys everything. But Maddox, you and I were in Toronto. Both of mm-hmm. us were also on Maridon. We felt like Maridon was a good play coming in. It was just in a good spot. And, you know, you take a bad matchup to Gardevoir and, you know, get lucky sometimes, like JWD in the finals, right? And play well and, you know, get a little bit of luck go your way. How'd your run go with Maridon?
My run with Maridon, so Eric, so both of us, we played the exact same 60 cards. We opted to go for the Zapdos EX package. It's kind of something I was talking with you with, you know, weeks before the event, kind of saying, hey, we think it's positioned well. And that the, you know, people aren't ready for the Zapdos EX. Right when it came out, 151 came out, people were ready for it. It really kind of fell off the map. And, you know, you and I saw it was that Maridon's pretty solid just as a whole, again, setting up 95% of the time. And for those tough matchups that you have a hard time into, Gardevoir, Lost Box, the Zapdos can really help swing the matchup if you're able to pull off that explosive turn one double KO or even surprise them with it late. So
yeah,
we opted for that strategy and built the deck around it. So I'll let you touch on that a little bit more. I had a rough start in Toronto. I started 0-2-1, first time ever, kind of that poor of a start. I hit a Lost Gudra round one, which, you know, they had a great run into day two. And again, one of the Gudras that saw success this past weekend, in addition to Hermione. So kind of some unluckiness there, and then hit a Mew. We didn't tech for Mew in our deck. Hit a Maridon Mirror where, you know, just mirror things happen. You know, they would stick a path, I couldn't get out of it. They would hit Boston needed to, I couldn't. So kind of, you know, managed to claw my way back from 0-2-1 to 4-2-1 and then a 5-3-1 finish. So rough start to the day, but ultimately had a good run. You know, lost an unfortunate round eight to Christian Labella, who got ninth place overall with his Arctura. So congrats to him.
Yeah.
Overall good time. I felt all right about the deck. My generators were not quite hitting the way they were supposed to, but you don't want to hear too much about a 5-3-1 finish. Eric, how did you do with the exact same 60 cards?
Yeah, I mean, I think we both said, like, you know, coming in, let's just run the same 60, and I think we just said no one's thinking about Zapdos right now. You know, if you get that going second, you get that combo going second, it's very hard to get, right? But if you get it and you pull it off, you just probably win some games. And, you know, right out of the gate, versus Ian Morgan, I played Lost Box round one. And right out of the gate, game one, Zapdos EX, Hawlucha, turn one, knocked out both his comfies. They go, you know, like, what am I supposed to do from here? Yeah. And then later on the game, he, you know, he had a Dragonite just to answer to try to stay in the game. And, you know, just, he didn't take up the Zapdos yet. So I just Zapdosed again. And it's like, you know, Zapdos just took four prizes and a lot of fun. But then I lost the next round to Charizard. We knew Charizard was a tough matchup coming in. It's one of those things, you just got to hit the, you know, you got to hit the generators early. You got to hit the Zapdos combo. Wasn't able to, but then I was able to win three in a row. So I was feeling pretty good, you know, at 4-1. Had a deck check in that fifth round. It was a little scary. You know, two of my sleeves were, you know, defective or marked or whatever you want to call it. And it was my only two of path. Thankfully, you know, the judges at Toronto were very friendly and, you know, it was on the right side of my deck and I'm like, I'll never see those cards. You know, we just resleeved the night before, you know how that thing goes anyways.
Yeah. Some fluky Dragon Shields. We're not yet sponsored by Dragon Shields. So we don't have
we're allowed to say
we have an
that.
Unbiased opinion. But also at the bottom tables, I was definitely tearing up some Dragon Shields with my mass shuffling. Yeah. That round three match, I'm like, tore another sleeve.
So. But lost to Gardevoir, you know. So next round, again, Gardevoir and Charizard are two tough matchups. We came in knowing we're gonna have three tough matchups: Gardevoir, Charizard, and Mew. You know, you just try to avoid them and get a win against them when you can. You know, beat the Chen Pao next round, and then I got the Mirror round eight. And the Mirror is like super, super funky. Versus James Lee, local guy in Toronto, very nice, had a good set. You know, game one, he hit me with the path early. I didn't really get out of it, didn't really get going. He won that game. Game two, I got going quicker than he did, just kind of like got through it. And then game three, like I go first. I'm like, okay. Or game three, he goes first. He doesn't get a lot. I don't get a lot. And then like he starts to hit his first generator. I look at my hand, I'm like, bro, I'm about to lose this game like right now. I'm both like my day two is about to be over. So I did something, you know, a little unique. I offered my opponent the ID before he played the generator. I was like, hey man, you know, I think we had like 5 minutes left anyway. So it probably could have ended up being a tie anyways, naturally tie. I was like, hey, you know, would you like to ID and have a win in the next round? And you know, I was fortunate enough to take the ID there. And then I got Arc Gudra, got rewarded for it, hit Arc Gudra next round. Bodied the Arc deck, so that was fun. Made day two, my second day two, first one of this season. And yeah, day two matchups were not like super friendly to me. You know, I got Arc round one, which is perfect. That's what we want. You know, beat the Arc deck pretty easily, and then another right on Mirror. Game two, I just went Mareep attach pass, got donked. You know, unfortunate, nothing I can do. And I hit back to back rapid strikes.
Yeah, like I don't know how many rapid strikes were in day two, but
yeah,
unlucky there wasn't many. Back-to-back. I remember seeing that second pairing, like rapid strike again. I'm like, oh, geez. But
yeah, I can look at it right here. Actually, it was rapid strike. There was, where's this number? I see it right here. 10. There was 10.
7, 8. Yeah.
9, yeah. 10. So there was 10. I hit 20% of the rapid strikes in day two back-to-back. For those of you that don't know, the Zapdos EX is resistant to fighting. So with a charm, they have to three-shot the Zapdos, which is pretty good. So I actually went undefeated against it. I went 1-0-1, and Maddox was there for my game against Greg, you know, the first one. And I got kind of unlucky not to win game three. He went, you know, Inteleon, both of his Urshifus were prized. So got pretty lucky, and then like just I hit two generators turn one and didn't hit a single energy off either, and then ended up in a tie just because we didn't have enough time to finish the matchup. Yeah. But
yeah, that's where all that practice, everyone listening at home, like practice your generators, right? You might think you're gonna do it, but practice it, you know.
That's right.
You should be able to get two generators in a row, 10 turns in a row before taking it to a regional. Just throwing that out there.
So anyways, that puts me in a spot where if I win the next two, I probably get top 32. Or I'm feeling like I can get top 32, and you know, I take a tough set against a Lost Box player. Just they ran hot, I didn't run hot, and you know, that's kind of how the matchup goes. And I'm like, okay, win the next one, get top 64. Win the next one, get 29 match points for 70th place. You know, super unfortunate to not make top 64, but that's how large regionals are these days. You know, so I finished 9-4-2, my best finish ever. So keep improving on that. We got LAIC next week. But
congrats on the awesome run.
Thanks. Yeah, took the Dawn. Had a good time. Rhydon's in a good place, and we'll see how it continues going forward. So jumping into Paradox meta, let's discuss LAIC meta, and I have some interesting questions for you guys, some thought-provoking questions to get us into the topic. Are you guys ready for some thought-provoking Paradox Rift questions?
Yeah.
Anyways, all right, so online meta, we got some results recently. We had a couple 100-person tournaments. What deck build have you seen that has seen success, that's intrigued you the most, and why?
Well, for me, I'm not necessarily intrigued by it, but Roaring Moon seems to be taking a lot of the tournaments by storm. It's just ridiculously fast if you see the cards, and can one-shot anything, and then also just hits 220. So it's a pretty good card with a tool that gives it 60 more health, so 290. Pretty good deck.
Pretty good deck. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But the decks that intrigue me, I'm seeing all these Iron Valiant variants. I think if I was to go to LAIC, I would play Iron Valiant something. Ooh. You have Donk potential. You can, you know, Metacham, Yoga Loop out of nowhere sometimes. And then, like, you've got, you know, Entei with it. You got Rapid Strike with it. You've got pure versions. Like, it's pretty interesting. I'm excited to see what's going to come out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of potential for those decks. I mean, we're really just seeing, like, the exploration of the meta. I mean, just in playing on the ladder today, I've seen Entei with Iron Valiant, seen Rapid Strike with Iron Valiant, and I've seen, like, Palkia with Iron Valiant, plus the Suicune, and ways to just attack quickly with that. And even, like, Roaring Moon, you know, I've seen some builds that are saying, hey, let's play some water energies, and let's play four energy switch. So now we're threatening Greninja turn one if you can get the right combo. Right, which sounds ridiculous, but any deck that can Greninja turn one, like, I think we got to keep our eye on. So I mean, there's some silliness with that, but I mean, in addition to that, one kind of, you know, older deck that's coming back that I've been having a lot of fun with lately is just Reggie's. Just being able to see that with some success, you know, fun kind of single prize box deck. Again, I've learned that, you know, I kind of have this piece of picking up decks after their prime time.
Yeah,
it's like, hey, Mew was running around the format and says, oh, hey, let me pick up Mew, like, you know, last year. Reggie's was running around and says, oh, let me try it now that it's, like, worse than it was before. But I mean, there's just a lot of fun decks out there. I do think the Roaring Moon that is tearing up the online meta will see a drop off in play. I mean, again, some tournaments where it's like 30% Roaring Moon, that's not going to stick for LAIC. That's really just people exploring the new lists right now and saying, hey, it's fun to just turn through this online. Best of one's pretty solid as long as you don't open up, you know, eight energy like I've seen once with a Goldango deck. you know, so
yeah, I'm really excited. I've been testing out the Lost Box Roaring Moon. That deck's been pretty interesting. You know, it kind of gives you an answer to hands. You know, in a good way, it's playing, you know, multiple Raihan, things like that. So interesting. I'm very interested to see, like, what comes out with Lost Box and LAIC. That's one of the things I'm most interested to see. Some creativity that, you know, some of the top players will have, the willingness to play, you know, a deck that's, you know, a little spicy, a little scary, you know, a little questionable, but, you know, something they've tested well, and you know, they're safe, you know, for the season. So they have no reason not to play a deck like that. Yeah.
For me personally, I feel like that just Lost Box, so many players have put so much time into it, and it's a deck that can see so much success. You know, cards like Jirachi or Iron Hands cannot fully eliminate Lost Box. So it's seeing how do they respond and what's the best way to respond that'll see the most success.
Yeah. I'll move on to the next question. So speaking of the new EX cards, you got Roaring Moon, you got Iron Valiant, what else am I missing? Help me
Iron
out.
Hands,
Iron
Goldango.
Hands, Serena EX, Serena, Garchomp.
So let's remove Roaring Moon from this discussion, because everyone loves Roaring Moon right now. But which new EX card do you think will do the best that came out of Paradox Rift? What will be the highest placing EX card at LAIC?
The second highest placing EX card. No, I was kidding. I think that Chen Pao, Iron Hands, they all have these long names of not Pokemon. They're all just two words, but
they're just words.
They're just Pokemon. Words. To Chen Pao with Iron Hands is, like, disgusting.
Yeah.
Really
is.
You just go Greninja and then Hands and then kill for, like, your last two prizes. It's just like, what do you do? You know, everybody always hits, you know, turn two, like, cross switcher, and it's just like, yeah, like, if it's rolling, I think it's like pretty near unstoppable.
Yeah, I mean, Iron Hands is really just going to see a lot of success just by helping, you know, the decks like Chen Pao and Maridon that have tougher matchups into single prize decks like Gardevoir or Lost Box, really giving them a solid answer to say, hey, if you don't get going quickly, I'm just going to be taking prize after prize two at a time.
Yeah.
And being able to take two prizes off of Shining Arcana Gardevoir, I mean, that's going to be big for them. I do think, you know, the biggest EX not named Roaring Moon or Iron Valiant or Iron Hands, I do think we're going to see someone with Goldango and just going to hit the right matchup, just going to dodge path, going to draw well, and just making it rain all over Brazil. So,
yes, sir. We're going to see it on stream, and someone's going to do that, like, for a win. They're just going to, like...
Yeah, just hit the energy cards out of their hands, and then the next round they're gonna oh, I'm DQ'd. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh no, not like this. But yeah, anyways, I agree with you guys. I don't know any EXs that, you know, really will do super well outside of what you've said. I'd love to see a Serena EX do well. I like that card. The card seems Garchomp pretty EX. Interesting. I don't think Garchomp's going to do well. It's just, its weakness is so bad for it right now.
Now, Maridon's not a real deck. No one's playing Maridon.
Yeah, of course not. But
definitely
they're,
not you know, us.
Yeah, no, so. Of course not. Nope. Yeah. Anyways, something we are seeing around the online meta, Snorlax Stall's doing pretty well. We got some control decks out there doing some well. Control's in a good place. What do you think the highest placing control is going to be? Day 2, top 8, top 16? How well do you think control's going to do?
I think we see one lose their winning in to like breaking game 2.
Yeah.
So like I guess that would put them probably like at the kind of end of top 32.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, it feels lame to say the same thing, so I'll pick something a little bit different just for the sake of diversity. But I'll say a top 16. Someone's going to crack the code, you know, someone who's seen success these decks before, right? I don't know if Sander's making the trip out, or someone like Piper Lapine, or someone like that, who's just going to say, I'm going to have the right combination of cards, and just pilot them well, and just, you know, exploit the weaknesses in the matchup. I think with the meta being so broad that there's some decks that just still will just be able to beat control very easily. So if you can avoid those decks, maybe like avoiding the Maridons or avoiding those other decks that have more favorable matchups, then we'll see a control Snorlax stall is different than a control, but a stalled or control deck in top 16.
I think I should put an asterisk next to my thing. If Sander goes to this event and makes day 2.
Yeah.
So if he doesn't get put out day 1, he's going to top 4.
That's top 4. Prediction. Yeah, that's what I was going to say, something very similar. I'm like, man, if Sander's there, you know he's going to do well. I mean, you know, the issue with control always has been, and I think our friend Disney would say the same thing, Giratina has always been a problem for control. Like, the ability just to shred is, like, been very difficult for control to deal with. And, you know, Lost Tina is going to be there. It's going to be in the meta. So I'm interested to see how he deals with, you know, I say he, how any control players end up dealing with Giratina specifically. So last question. I think, Parker, you already kind of touched on it a little bit about what you might play. But sadly, neither of my two comrades here are coming to Brazil with me. I'm going to be all by myself. So come say hi. Shout out the Beach Court podcast, and I'll turn around and run your way. But if you guys were going, what are you playing?
Yeah, like I mentioned, I think I'd probably go with some kind of Iron Valiant thing. It's like fairly consistent.
What V? Just pick a V. Which V?
A V? A V? I would love to play Giratina, but I don't know what happened.
I'm saying Iron Valiant plus what V?
Oh. I don't know. The fire one kind of intrigues me because this is so easy to get Entei going. You just like, you know, 3 guys and then, you know, Magma Basin, attached jet, attack. You know, it's like, doesn't get much easier than that, I guess.
Let's see. For me, if I was going, I mean, to be honest, seeing some of the Fusion Mew hype is making me just thinking about it, right? I mean, listen, right? Yeah, it's like, if you're looking for decks that just don't auto lose to Iron Hands, when you see more Chen Pao and Maridon decks being played a lot, you know, those are pretty favorable matchups from you. Spiritomb doesn't exist. Drapion doesn't exist. And Iron Valiant, you know, just hard loses to Mew pretty much, unless you're playing double Drapion. And even then, they still probably lose. I mean, you know, Fusion Mew is going to show up. Some people are just going to say, hey, this is a comfortable deck. It's a strong deck. It just won the World Championship. It'll do well. If I wasn't playing that, then I'd definitely be looking at Chen Pao hands. I think just the ability to just chain Iron Hands, no other deck can do it as well as Chen Pao. So I think that's just the key. Just dodge the Toad Scroll that prevents you from playing Superior Energy Retrieval. And you'll be fine.
Yep. Or Venomoth.
You know, playing Arctobax and Evolution TM. You didn't hear from me. Don't play that. It's bad. So
well, interesting. Sad to not see you there. But yeah, I think Fusion Mew is in a great spot too. So we'll get to that once we get to our tier list. But first we gotta get the trivia. Are you guys ready for this week's trivia question?
Yeah.
Let's send it.
All right. This is from today's online tournament results. A deck got top 8 today in Pumpka Amy's online tournament featuring a spicy Pokemon V. Can you name the Pokemon V? Please, as a reminder, send it to me in the chat.
I did not. I was actually watching Pump. I was watching her before we started recording. But I didn't see the results or anything. You said it's a V?
It is a Pokemon V, yes.
God.
I mean, and by spicy, you mean something that like hasn't seen any competitive viability at all in the past like 6 months.
Correct. I have hints, so whenever you guys are ready, just let me know when you want to go to the hints.
Yeah, I'll take a hint, just so I'm not having to guess one of 200 Vs. Right. I'll say something in D block accidentally, right?
Okay, hint number one. This is the Pokedex entry of this Pokemon.
Great.
The tissue of the surface of its body is curiously similar in composition to an apricorn. When irritated, this Pokemon lets loose an electric current equal to 20 lightning bolts. Let me know if you need me to reread it.
Answer's locked in.
Maddox has locked in an answer.
Gotta be electric. What electric Vs are there?
This is just, this almost makes you think of like the Guess That Flavor text where you hear a Pokedex entry. It's like, oh yeah, easy. And it's like, water Pokemon.
Yeah, exactly.
Huh.
What's going through your head, Parker?
I'm trying to name every V in my head, but it said like some like sticky stuff and.
You need me to read it again. I can read it again for you.
Yeah, or... read it again, okay. I guess.
All right. The tissue of the surface of its body is curiously similar in composition to an apricorn. When irritated, this Pokemon lets loose an electric current equal to 20 lightning bolts.
I feel like that makes it seem like it's a small Pokemon. And I have a Pokemon in mind, but I don't.
There is a second hint.
I don't know if it has a V card, but yeah, don't I get 0 points though? If I get
one point, you get one less point. Yeah.
Okay.
Marshadow.
We'll use a second hint.
All right. I don't know if it's going to help you that much. It's not as helpful as the first hint. Second hint is this Pokemon is from the Legend Arceus game in the Hisuian region.
That didn't narrow it down any for me.
Yeah, I had another hint that I was like, this will really, really narrow it down, but I couldn't do that because it's too obvious.
I'll guess this thing.
Okay, Parker has locked in his answer. So is Maddox. Both of you are correct. It is Hisuian Electrode V. Yes.
With cloth.
Electrode V got 8th place in the Bunka Amy today.
I should have realized that earlier when you said apricot, because it's like a Pokeball.
Yeah.
And I did put the spicy word in the thing on purpose because
spicy curry, whatever it's called.
Boo.
Boo. I know, right? All right. That was fun. Anyways, thanks for playing along. Hope you guys played along at home. Next, just a little bonus points for you guys to try to get 3 more points on the board, but also kind of lead us back into Paradox Rift meta. So every tournament they do the top 5 decks on the board, you know, day 1 decks. Mm-hmm. So each of you tell me what your top 5 decks are, as meta percentages. You don't have to tell me numbers, but what are the top 5 decks in any order, and whoever has the most right gets 3 points.
So I don't know.
Parker, since you were behind, I will let you go first.
Okay. So I don't know if they're going to group them together, but I think it'll be Roaring Moon.
Okay.
Gen Pal.
Okay.
Lugia variants. It's so hard. I think Gardy, maybe.
Okay.
And then... it's hard to say the last one because like Zard's good, but like Zard just like is loose to the moon, I think. And like if Chen Pao's good, it's like also kind of scary. And then if anybody happens to play the Devolution tool, then it's also like very, very scary. But the last one's hard. I'd have to probably say maybe Mew, honestly.
Ooh.
I just gotta ask, are you not including Maridon?
I don't think Maridon.
Oh.
Honestly. I think Maridon would be like 6 on the list, probably. Like
locking behind it in Mew for the 5th one?
Yeah, I'll lock in Mew.
All right. Maddox, what about you?
I mean, yeah, Maridon's definitely up there somewhere. The deck's just too consistent, and I think they'll run hands with it.
That's fair, yeah.
Maridon, Chen Pao, Guardi. You know, there's gonna be some loss. It's like these spots are tough. Like, I kind of want to say Lost Box, but also yeah, I got Lugia to squeeze in there. Do I want to get Charizard in there? Do I want Roaring Moon in there? And I'm just gonna disrespect Roaring Moon. I'm gonna take some Mucopium. Say Roaring Moon isn't real. We'll say Maridon, Chen Pao, Gardevoir, Lugia. What are the other decks? Zyron Valiant up there? No. Okay, fine. We'll throw in Roaring Moon. I don't know. I don't know what to say otherwise.
Okay. Because you're like Zard or something.
Zard, yeah. I think it's
actually not. So, no, we'll do a throwback to Kurochiba. No Roaring Moon actually, out, Zard in.
Yeah. Take out Mew for me, actually, and put Zard.
Wow, the disrespect.
It's like,
we're not considering the fact I didn't put Mew in my own top.
So now you guys have four of the five. So basically, if Maridon is up there or Roaring Moon is up there, one of them is not, the other wins.
That's what this comes down to. And then what is it like if they're both there?
Then like one of the other ones wouldn't it be, right? Because it's only five, right?
But if so we both picked all the same ones, so like, is it whoever is the higher meta percentage?
No, whoever has the most correct on the five, all right, on the top.
Hey, listen,
five.
What if we both have four?
If you both have four, then it's a tie. I mean.
All right, hey, for the sake of content, Gardevoir out, Mew in.
Gardevoir out, Mew in. Ooh,
I'd rather be wrong with Mew than be right without him.
Hey, that's fair. All right, next, let's transition to our tier list working session. So, Maddox, if you want to go ahead and start sharing, we can get to work.
Sure. So, yeah, we got a big juicy tier list to go through here. So we're gonna work on building this out for y'all. And excited for y'all to hear some of our, you know, talking about it just as we go through it. Shout out to Zapdos TCG for putting this list together, and you know, us and many other creators using it to build out their own tier lists. So, let's get into it, y'all. So we have a few categories. We have a tier zero, tier one, tier one and a half, tier two, tier three, and then our rogue meme. So there's a lot of these kind of cool new cards on the list. Do we think any of them are, you know, viable, or are you throwing a lot of them really just into that like rogue or meme tier?
I think some are viable for sure.
Definitely some.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think some are viable. Let's just jump into it, and let's all like pick one that goes into rogue meme. Parker, you first.
Rogue meme right now, Armor Rogue, or Armor Rouge, however you say it.
Yep.
There is potential. I believe there's potential with that card. However, I don't think anybody would bring it on their expensive flight to LAIC.
Yeah, we got some of my guys here. I love United Wings as much as next guy, but still not in a rogue category. A little too risky to play, I think.
What? In rogue?
I would have put it,
not even
I
tier,
put
three?
It in tier three. I would.
Yeah, all right. Yeah.
Jeez, all right. Really quick outnumbered. Okay, then. Hey, listen, if y'all are calling Garbodor with the Wug Trio to search tools, anything other than a meme?
Yeah, no, I agree.
A great, great meme. I mean, great, I want to build and play meme. Locals. And yeah. And I really hope someone goes to LAIC and gets top eight with this and proves all of us wrong.
Wild. So, yeah.
Eric, what do you have in rogue?
Yeah, I mean, I think just put the Mossholt in there, right? Like that thing, just get the thing out of here.
Wow. Not even a nice thing to say about it. Just get it out of here.
It's a nice looking card. It looks great. Great artwork. That's about where it ends.
Ouch.
All right. Parker, what about you?
What's next? Kafagrigus. Put it there. Sadly, memes are supposed to be like funny, but I don't even think that one is.
Dragapult VMAX again.
It's Dragapult, but like worse.
Like worse, yeah. I think the Aegislash belongs in the meme category, probably.
Yeah, for now.
Till it's proven.
Yeah, we'll have to see how it rolls. I mean, obviously, just any with the safeguard ability that gives a lot of potential, just with so many.
Definitely.
B's and EXs in format still. And the Aegislash EX, a sneaky, sneaky good attacker late game. I think you're hitting 350 or something for one energy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So pretty nutty. Meowscarada, regrettably, I think is still not, it's still the play in our rogue category. So
yeah, and sadly, I think like Skeledirge belongs there. Just hasn't seen any success at all. I think there is some room for that card to be good, but I just don't think it's his time yet.
Mm-hmm. I definitely want to play that. Definitely as a league deck, maybe even take it to a cup. But like, I would not take that to a $70 entry fee.
Yeah.
Well, seven. Oh, the regionals. Okay, I was about to say. Well, Brazil's gonna be more expensive than your $70 for the registry.
I mean, technically, the entry fee is cheaper.
That's true, actually. Yeah.
Technically.
Oh, in that case, everyone play.
Oh, and yeah, you know. Oh, my bad. Yeah, actually, everybody knows.
I mean, can we put Reggie's in the meme category?
I know. I could put that in a tier.
I know.
That belongs in a tier for sure.
Sadly. I think it's a meme, but whatever.
I want to leave it in tier two for now, and we'll see how high it goes.
Mm-hmm. I think Earth and Vessel is like definitely the push that deck needed.
Yeah,
to
it did need maybe crawl back. Sure.
Because what makes it good is just now you're able to find your basic energies, not have to play Luminous Energy, and now you can like realistically just throw your gift energies on it, and that's really what makes the deck so good. You're not gonna have a single prizer, you're putting a gift energy on it every single turn.
What does the Mewtwo do? Is that Rogue meme?
I think it's still there for now. I mean, you can't use it with Gardevoir, but the Zatu, it's kind of like a Shadow Rider Calyrex VMAX for each psychic attached.
Oh yeah,
it's basically those two cards like taken off of each other.
Yeah.
You're right. Yeah. What if it was VMAX but separated? So maybe not there yet, but it's still a fun combo for try to anyone thinking about it.
Any other meme decks?
Right now, I'd say Ting Lu probably.
Yeah,
meme.
probably.
Or Rogue. I wouldn't say meme, but Rogue.
Definitely yeah. Rogue, yeah.
I mean, while we're speaking of our buddy Jose Marrero down in Orlando, Azumin Zoroark V-Star?
I think it can go in a tier. It's tier three. Yeah.
Tier three.
I'm about it.
Definitely cheap, quick knockouts, and like the Dodrio's a constant draw. Like, it's got a lot of going for it, but it's tough.
Someone on Twitter right now is typing, but Dodrio gets KO'd by Iron Hands.
Oof.
Gengar gets KO'd by Iron Hands.
You're right. Yeah, you're right.
But Zoroark's KO'd him back, so if he dodges the hands, maybe he can make a maybe he can have some fun.
Probably.
Actually, you know, I think if Reggie's we're putting in tier two, I think we could put Zoroark in tier two, assuming Zoroark. I almost think that.
Yeah,
I don't think that.
True, that's fair.
It's like tier two and a half for me.
Yeah,
so like
yeah,
I
yeah.
see where you're at.
Sure. Yeah.
All right, let's knock out some of these other.
Yeah, does Arc Gudra does not Arc Gudra does Arc Drago belong in Rogue since it's probably not going to see a lot of play.
Yeah, for now.
Yeah, Earthen Vessel definitely gives it a bump, but maybe it's not paired with Arc. Maybe it's paired with like a Gardenia's bigger engine or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Powered up in one turn now.
Dialga, love the deck. I still think it's still in a fun meme category at the moment.
Nah, he just like Magnezone to Iron Hands.
Well, in that case, I mean, there we go. In that case,
now
that
you mention it.
All right, we'll leave it in tier three as we continue moving along. Let's hit some of these other areas. Baina EX, you know,
tier
Baina
three.
EX saw a little bit of success, so we'll keep,
tier
you know,
three.
Give it a little respectable tier three finish. Let's see, what are some of these other ones?
Serena's probably Rogue. Like, probably. Definitely potential. I'm not saying the deck's bad.
Yeah,
but like,
just unproven potential for right now. That's where a lot of these
exactly.
are falling.
Can we put Lost Tina on Rogue?
Maybe.
Nah. Nah, listen. All of our Japan listeners just tuned out and unsubscribed.
Yeah, definitely.
No, I mean Tina just listen, you know, the ability for that deck to come back and be able to do the combo of Path, Countercatcher, Roxanne, Star Requiem. Like, you know, like that is just such a brutal combo wherever you come from. So
yeah, sure.
I think with that alone, you know, we gotta keep that
1.5
deck.
At
yeah, we
least.
gotta I mean we'll review as we keep going, but at least want to throw it up there for now. Palkia almost gets one, you know, one shot by Iron Hands with your with the future booster energy,
tier two.
The Chen Pao's, the one talking about it all. I think we're looking like a tier two or tier three, unfortunately.
Garchomp's tier three.
I think there's something there. Again, just
definitely.
a beefy boy, as they say.
That card has like too much going for it. Like that, there. One day that card will be good.
Yeah, when Maridon rotates.
Yeah, Rhydon is definitely holding it back now. Kind of reminds me, I mean, what, the Garchomp level X from back in the day, wasn't that 120 anywhere as well?
Oh, the old one? I think it was 80.
That was 80, yeah.
I think Arctina's tier 3 right now.
If there was a 2.5, I'd put it there.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I agree with that.
We'll be here all day if we're doing tier 2.5, so.
Yeah, yes, yes, yes.
What else do we think, you know, is not in, you know, kind of top contention?
Yeah, anything else for 3 or me?
The Cloth deck, bro. Cloth can go in Vogue.
I mean, Cloth just got top 8 pump game.
I mean, it literally just got top 8, man. I think you can put it in a tier. I think, like, if we're putting Dialga Magnezone in three and
sure, okay.
And United, I mean, Rings, I think Dialga Magnezone could still be in Rogue personally.
Yeah, so. I mean, I think it's the same level as Garchomp.
Zorbox, is this the time? Does Jirachi help it out enough?
It's like the definition of Rogue, but like, oh no, you could see someone tier 3, like maybe.
Yeah, put it in tier 3. Give us some respect.
Some respect on Zoroark.
Some respect on that, dog. I think Penny Mimikyu V probably, you know, Rogue or meme. I mean, no one's playing that.
Also, the definition of Rogue, pretty much.
Yeah. I mean, same with Vulpix, Yveltal. You know, two great cards. I mean, we're seeing a lot of those, just like the Snorlax stall scene success now. There's going to be something with control, right? You know, we can have a Sander tier if we want to throw Mimikyu Penny into it.
Yeah. But, yeah. Exactly.
That's, you know, well, that's kind of a wait and see what happens with it.
Yeah, I think that kind of does it for tier 3 and Rogue and memes. Everything
where do we else? Put where do we put Snorlax stall?
I think that's way better than tier 3.
Tier 2?
Maybe even better right now. Honestly, like, I mean, catchers are insane.
Yeah, custom catcher. Yeah, you're right.
Counter catcher.
Counter catcher. God.
I mean, throw it up in that tier 1.5 for now as we
How's it work
get
out?
Into it in a second. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think we kind of have a lot of pieces to start making those top tiers.
Yeah, I agree. So let's take a quick break and hear from our sponsor, Nakama. We had our Nakama Con this weekend, Parker. Did you have fun with that?
Yeah, of course. How was your first con experience, guys?
I mean, great. We had the Elite Four Challenge. We had one guy, one competitor get through three of us.
Got all three of y'all. I had to stop him at the gates.
You had to, Gardevoir had to stop him at the gates. Man, I played Lost Tina day one. Thank God I switched it on day two. Like, oh my God, the amount of hands I was like, yeah, attach pass. Cool, thanks.
The amount of hands and iron hands to deal with. Just, I know. Makes it a tough day. So,
Max, what about you? How was Nakama calling for you?
Oh, fantastic time. I mean, just so great to be in an environment with so much energy and so much, you know, passion for so many different things, just meeting local vendors, local you know, esports organizations, hearing the local video game music group, and just so much fun stuff going on, as well as the Poke Glow Rave afterwards. Oh. And again, you know, Nakama Anime Cafe is always doing awesome events. And in case you didn't join us at Nakama Con, you know, follow them on Instagram, tune into at Nakama Jax, and see what's going on there. There's always a bunch of fun stuff, including league there every Wednesday. So
Wednesday. Yeah, shout out to Nakama.
Yeah, my con experience was pretty great. Like you guys mentioned, we did the Elite Four thing. I had a bunch of competitors come up. That was super fun. We even taught like a handful of people how to play.
Yeah.
You know, building the community, gaining interest for that. You know, they seemed pretty interested. You know, taught a bunch of awesome people how to play. I had fun vending and you know, doing all that stuff. Like I basically do it for work, but I don't have as much freedom. I ran around, got the initials from all the other vendors, so I got my goodie bag prize, which I actually lost the bag and the brochure, I think, which stinks, but I also got a bunch of really nice cosplay photos, you know, a bunch of cosplayers there.
Yeah.
And I also ran a Pokemon Go Cup, so my hands were pretty tired the entire weekend, so it was definitely a blast.
Yeah, well, Parker like helped us out on day one by not letting the one competitor win and beat the whole Elite Four. Day two, we held it down. We were destroying everyone left and right. Their competitors weren't standing a chance. You know, just had to switch off a Lost Tina. That's all it took. Mm-hmm. Anyways, that was a lot of fun. But yeah, thanks Nakama for your continued support. And let's get into the second half of our tier list.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I mean, we're to the heavy hitters now, both literally and figuratively.
Yeah.
So I mean, we got some of these, you know, I think some of these ones we were talking about right now earlier before, right? Snorlax, Stall, and Lostina. I mean, where are these fitting? Are you know, some would say based off Japan usage, Lostina could be BDIF. Is that where you think it is?
No, I don't think it's consistent enough. Honestly, I mean, there's the best builds that are consistent enough play the Pokegears, sadly. And you know, there's really not a lot of room for that if you still want to play catchers, which is what makes the deck good. So I think right now, like one that has probably the best it can be. You'll see someone run hot with it and it'll do well. I don't know. My personal opinion, it doesn't belong higher than 1.5. I could even put it in 2, to be honest.
I would keep it 1.5. Like if it was any more consistent, it'd be you know, better. Like,
it'd be tier 0 if it was consistent.
Yeah, you just get like some like awful hands. And I know like the you know, the old game plan was, you know, comfy jet your Tina path and abyss seeking, but like I think the format's too fast to do that now.
Yeah. Yeah, you just get blown up by a Roaring Moon. Like, good game. Yeah, have a Roaring nice
Moon,
one.
Maridon,
I mean, like, Roaring Moon, Mew, like Maridon, right? All those guys are just taking one shots on you first turn.
Yeah. Even Lugia. It's like,
I mean, maybe you should just play a Squawk.
Now we're cooking.
And I think Snorlax, honestly, like I think Snorlax in a great position coming in. So I think it stays right where it is.
Yeah, I'm comfortable with where it is too. Again, you know, we're seeing a lot of people start to play it, even you know, local league cups. You know, the finish with it at Toronto was really encouraging for a lot of people, kind of what people needed to see in order to pick it up and give it a shot. And again, it gained so many tools, Luxurious Cape, Counter Catcher, right? Really, you know, be really interested to see where it comes, where what happens next with it.
I'm really excited to see what Xander does with a cape.
Nah, I'm not.
Hey, be careful what you wish for. You might be sitting across from him turn round one.
That's fine.
You might just smoke your cheeks.
I'll allow it.
All right. I mean, some of these other ones, you know, there's a little, I think there's one Arc deck that's still around here. I mean, Arcdura, you know, again.
Tier 2, yeah.
Tier 2, I mean, still
I'd say solid
still
tier 2.
Yeah, I agree. You know, Duraludon, you know, your Roaring Moon does not care about your Duraludon.
This is true.
Yeah, I think Lost Zard, the, like, Lost Charizard EX probably also belongs in tier 2. You know, good deck, but would you rather play, you know, Charizard EX a different way and not, you know, be in danger of hands at all times? Or would you rather, you know, like, I think, so that's one that belongs in tier 2.
I'm fine with that. Too much going on, right? Too many weaknesses to hands. Yeah. Charizard, if you get it set up, it's great, but it's going to be hard to find those pieces without the conventional searches of like Arvin or Four Seal Stone. We got like Arvin Pidgeot. Well, I guess we'll call this Arvin Zard.
Yeah.
I think that's a little bit better position than the Lost Zard right now.
Yeah, I think Zard's in
there. If there's like a tier point 1.75, that's where I would put it. I think the Charizard Barrel deck is also like a really good way to run it going into this meta.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I'm just kind of lumping them all probably in the same. And honestly, I think like Charizard's in a well-positioned spot to maybe get top 8 here. So maybe that makes it tier 1. You know, I don't know.
I like it where it is right now.
Okay.
But,
yeah, we can bump it up as we, you know, work on our final ones. I do think, again, adding the Evolution TM to it and just strategies focused on that. If you're saying, hey, I'm going to go second, I'm going to Evolution TM. And being able to put your Preparal into play on turn 2 or turn 1 going second with Evolution TM, that's also pretty strong. So curious to see how it goes.
I agree.
Said some of the heavy hitters, Chen Pao hands.
Chen Pao, tier 1, maybe even best deck. I don't even know. I would not put that anywhere under tier 1.
Yeah, tier 1. I don't think it's best deck just because of how bad. Again, like it can have some rough hands too. So
it can, but I mean, I swear I watched that deck at like 19 out of 20 games. It just pops off.
Yeah. Well,
if you have nothing but you have Pokestop, you just Pokestop and 2 VIP passes and you're off to the races.
Yeah, if only, right? Yeah, I think tier 1's fun. I think, you know, you got just like trying to finish up the tier 2 column here. I see a couple of tier 2 decks, maybe 3 of them here. I'm seeing the Lost Gudra, the Lost Sablezard, and the Rapid Goldango. Strike.
What about Goldango?
Yeah, maybe Goldango too. Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
So
We'll slide
you
those all
think
up
any of
there.
those belong in tier two?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think Sables are, depending on how many people play Sable or not Sable, Jirachi, I could, because like that deck is like get to Sableye,
Yeah.
ruin your opponent's board. But if they have Jirachi, it's like definitely a lot harder to do that.
Yeah, I think that Sablezard is maybe even better positioned than like a Turbo Loss Box potentially. I think it really depends on if you're having those answers in Sablezard to an Iron Hands. That's the piece that's a little bit less clear. But if you're able to go, respond to Iron Hands with like the Regidrago type of thing, hitting 240 at the gate, or Radiant Zard able to power that up with Mirage Gate, then something like that, can help turn that matchup. And I really think that people be saying, hey, I think Iron Hands is pushing Lost Box out of the format rather than having to play a Jirachi in my own deck.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe.
It could be there. Yeah, I guess we can throw it in tier two. But when I think of Sablezard, I think of like the three Sableye, like vacuum, go, switch cards, that deck. It plays like three psychic, two fire. But
Yeah, I mean, it would
like
have to be a transformation of like this conventional Sablezard.
to like something with Mirage Gates, yeah.
Yeah, or there's some saying like there's the Flamigo or there's Slitherwing, other ways to take out Iron Hands,
Yeah.
other ways to have those
Yeah.
answers. I think I'm fine with Rapid Strike there. Hermione might argue differently, but I think Arcudra, especially with Roaring Moon, is probably still, firmly in tier two. Yeah,
It's
it's like
not.
you take one deck, like you're making Tina better, which is a bad matchup. You're making, you have Roaring Moon now, which would be a bad matchup. You got a lot of bad matchups now. So yeah, I think everything else here is probably 1.5 and above. Like, I think any of these decks here can probably win the tournament. Maybe not single strike, I don't know.
I think single strike
I think
in
rate
Color
single
of the Tree is good.
strikes. I think single strike's almost better than rapid, or not rapid,
Colorless.
colorless.
Yeah.
A
I
rapid
Rapid
strike,
Strike Lugia. No, I'm sure.
because you just one shot, and you just one shot, and then you just one shot. So it's like,
True.
don't know. And then it's like turbo matchups, like pretty favored. Some usually, like I like. Rhydon's its biggest fear.
Or Moon.
Well, I think Moon, you just like, I guess, yes, if they donk your Lugia, it's the same thing as Rhydon,
Right.
essentially. But, like, assuming you make it past the first turn, you just like Tyranitar them, and it's like, I don't know. I haven't played the matchup, but it seems like it's probably like not the worst thing ever.
Yeah, I agree. And being able to go and, respond to a Roaring Moon with a single Prizer to just hit the remaining damage on it, that remaining
That too,
90.
yeah.
I mean, that's gonna be able to swing the matchup a lot there. And
So
right,
are
and also Lugia has access to Dunsparce if you're worried about Maridon or Iron Hands.
true.
True that.
Are either the Lugias in tier one, or are they both tier 1.5?
I'll let you guys decide on that. I'd be fine putting them both in 1.5.
Maddox, you have any input there?
I don't have enough reps with these to know for sure. I mean, I've always liked single strike. I mean, just a little bit more, I think, straightforward. Snorlax isn't really getting dealt with Iron Hands that easily too. So, I mean, I think there's merit for both of them. I don't think either of them are as good as Chen Pao, which is also in tier one. So
Right,
based off of
yeah.
that, we'll keep it a little bit below for now. But I do think that Lugia is better than probably most of these on the left of tier 1.5.
Yeah, I
I think
mean,
currently.
if you're me playing Lugia, it belongs in the meme tier, but
I mean, currently Colorless Lugia is 3-0 in deck out tournament tonight. So maybe, yeah, I don't know. I think tier 1.5 though. I don't know. I think
we'll
it
keep it
takes a
there for
bunch of bad
now.
matchups. I think also like Turbo Lost Box probably belongs in 1.5. I don't think it, we don't know enough about the builds yet to push it to tier one. But like it's still dangerous enough to like have it in 1.5.
I feel like that Sablezard or some sort of single prize Lost Box variant without Greninja is still kind of at the same level as a Turbo Lost Box personally, in like a 1.5.
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe I think if there was like a one prize lost box, like maybe with, I don't know, Zamazenta or
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing. I think that's probably better than those other two decks, but like there's none on the graphic, but we'll
Or
see.
maybe your Roaring Moon Lost Box or Iron Hands
True.
Lost Box. There's some other
Iron,
talk about,
yeah, Iron Hands.
putting these new powerful EXs into Lost Box and helping cover some of those bad matchups.
Yeah, outside of that,
What about Gardevoir?
think Gardevoir's
I think
tier
ours
one.
tier one.
Yeah, it's definitely tier one. I mean, it just, yes, it has to deal with hands, but it can deal with hands. It
You
just,
can
all
just go
right,
reversal.
reversal, attach the
Yeah.
V. See ya.
Yeah.
I mean, so it's tough. I don't know. The Valiant deck, I've played it some. I know there's a couple of different builds,
It's
and
tough.
I don't think it has enough good matchups to put it in tier one. Like,
Right.
I think it is a good deck. I think it's probably the best of the tier one and a half decks.
Yeah, I would say I'd put it tier one and a half, but I don't know.
I would even say, like, let's just put it to the left of tier one and a half to signify that it is the best of those. Because I think it's the best of them. I
Is
think,
pretty good.
I mean, I feel like in an Iron Valiant Rapid Strike, which is probably like the strongest way to play right now, you know, again, just being able to prey on those decks that need the setup, like Chen Pao Baxcalibur, which we have already said is one of the best decks, like Gardevoir, favorable matchups into pretty much all the Lost Box variants. I mean, and also if it's a running Rapid Strike, probably favorite into Maridon also. Just being able
Yeah.
to go and go a little bit faster than them and not be able to,
Urshifus
you know,
and
right,
oh yeah,
Urshifu's just good
Urshifus,
into
yeah.
it. You know, I think there's a conversation for it to be in tier one. I think it's gonna be, you know, how much is it, you know, being respected by other decks and just how prevalent are those smaller setup decks.
Yeah, and how much is it played, right? This is really like LAIC
Yeah.
meta prediction, right? Like, how much is that gonna be played?
Yeah, it the I think one of the busted things about it too is as like FTK potential,
Yeah.
like oh I started you know one
Bidoof.
Frigibax or
Yep.
Bidoof or and you just
I mean, I know Maddox B and you played a game and you got two Frigibax down and they were both dead before you had a turn.
I mean exactly. I mean you can take three knockouts. I mean you can take three or four knockouts with this deck pretty easily, right? If you go, I mean, battle VIP pass, get four Ralts out. You're like, okay, Iron Valiant KO one, Yoga Loop another, and then G-Max
Yogaloop.
Rapid Flow. Like your board
It's
just gets wiped out. So
ridiculous. Yep.
I feel like it could be in tier one. Again, you know, we'll have to see how much is played and how much the decks that it is great against are played. You know, if
Yeah.
there's a room where it's a Chen Pao and Maridon meta and Roaring Moon meta, then it's not gonna do too well. But if we're still seeing Lost Box and Guardian Zard
Right.
around, then it has a pretty good chance.
It does have a chance. Yeah, I
Agree.
agree.
DTE Mew.
DTE. What do I have to say about DTE?
I mean, go first, two VIP pass, grabber path, go. Like, that's pretty disgusting, but like,
I think like at these big tournaments, just when there's a brand new format and there's kind of these known decks that are just good, right? Anyone going to LAIC can just say, hey, listen, Lugia and Mew remain to be good decks, and Spirit Tomb remains a good play into those decks. So if I can add one card that helps my matchup significantly, or for DTE Mew, just like auto wins, then I think people should opt for that. So I think DTE Mew, you know, really, really can't be any higher than like tier one and a half just due to its weakness there. But if it's rolling up to a tournament with no Spirit Tomb and it's able to just judge path and do what it does freely, and dodge from Roaring Moons, then it's gonna have a good time.
Seeing tier two.
I'm saying like tier one and a half, maybe.
I would say too, like the moon matchup feels abysmal, I think. Unless like maybe you go second versus moon and you just judge path them and hope you just brick them. Because like they can't saw to the first turn. Like, yeah, I can play two dark patches and attach, but like I don't know.
I think even path him going first and just say you can't squawk.
Yeah.
Yeah,
They
you path him
they're
going
always gonna
first.
drop freaking Pokéstop. I don't know.
Yeah, I think maybe again best of the tier twos.
Yeah.
Yeah, on the
But
better side of tier two.
our boy Fusion Mew.
Yeah,
Fusion's
that
tier
one I
one.
put to, you think one?
Fusion's tier one. It's in a great spot. I think Fusion's like in a really good spot.
I could roll with that. And I was thinking 1.5, like towards the upper part of it, but it's like,
I mean, all the data. I mean, it won a tournament. It keeps doing well in all these online tournaments. We know it's still good in the current meta from Toronto meta. You know, and it's still doing well in the new meta. It's just like, I mean, I'm looking at, you know, the right now they're through three rounds, and you know they're at 75% win rate with, you know, eight decks. Yeah. Snorlax stall, right. Eight decks, 70% win rate. You know, like those are the two decks I think are really well positioned based off the data.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We'll keep it here for now. We can adjust it a little when we do our last review. And two of the decks we've talked a lot about, two of some of our favorites right now, Maridon and Roaring Moon.
Yeah, I think they're both tier one.
Is that pretty safe to say they're both tier one at this point?
I think Maridon's 1.5 personally.
Ooh.
Roaring Moon, tier one, but man, is that deck high roll.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I know it's like everyone's saying it's like the new Maridon, right? Kind of.
It is, but like, yeah, I mean, like, there was one game I played with it. I opened three Sadas, two Pokestops, and like an energy, and I like opened more Pekko, and I Pokestopped, didn't hit any items this pass. So it was like, and like, yeah, any deck can do that, but like, I don't know. Is this? I feel it's definitely like a run hot deck. Like, I don't know.
I think Maridon's still in tier one. I mean, just the ability to run hands, the ability to set up a turn one going second, amp you very much with double turbo, or even just getting lucky off of generators. I think that just puts too many matchups just out of hand. And for as good of a deck as we know it is, I think it deserves to be up there in tier one personally.
Okay, yeah. We can put it up there. But I think it has bad matchups to every deck in tier one.
Yeah, I think
maybe Chen Pao's even.
Yeah, Chen Pao's like a good matchup, favored. I think. Yeah.
Yeah,
but I think everything else is like unfavored.
Yeah, I think so too.
I mean, I think that's Maridon's bread and butter. It's unfavored against everything, but it just plays the game more often consistent. Than everyone.
Yeah.
All right. I mean, let's take a look at this. I mean, you know, any last things that are tweaks? I mean, do we think we have, you know, six tier one decks and none in tier zero? Like no clear BDIF at this point?
I think Fusion Muse tier zero.
No, that's a hot take.
A hot take. I mean, it loses. It's like basically loses to Moon, I think, though.
Loses to Moon, loses to Charizard.
I mean, does it lose
to Moon? Loses to Gardy. We haven't played that matchup enough. We'll play.
I guess we haven't played that one enough.
Yeah. It's like, all right, they take the first KO, you know, turn one, just like Maridon does. And then you go like, all right, KO you back, Judge Path. What do you got?
I mean, you gotta like Elisa or stuff like that. Cause I don't know. I guess like if you go second and have a very strong turn with either of them, I think that's probably going to decide the game.
Yeah.
No. Personally, for me, if I'm sleeving up Movie Max, I'm playing a Vitality Band.
Yeah.
Helps you get to 230.
Yeah, you just do like one tablet and Vitality Band. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe Chen Pao is tier zero.
I think that's in my mind, and I could be wrong. I think that's probably, if I had to say, there is definitely one. I would probably pick Chen Pao.
Yeah.
I mean, if we're talking about decks where if you're getting set up consistently and you can win pretty much any matchup, right? We've seen that as Gardevoir in the past. We've seen it as Lugia in the past. Just saying, hey, if Chen Pao's able to get set up and have a barrel, double backs, and, you know, chain Iron Hands, is anything beating it?
I just don't know if it's consistent enough to put it there. I mean, has it even won an online tournament?
I don't know.
I mean, it's online tournaments, and again, yeah, you know, we'll see a lot of best of one, you know, bias there as well too. I think if anything, it could be Chen Pao hands, just a lot of power there. I'm also comfortable just saying that, you know, we have, you know, a lot of very strong decks. I'm almost thinking maybe back to what y'all said, is Iron Valiant maybe at a tier 1.5 at this point of just not proven enough and not a good enough matchup spread across the board to be tier one. We'll definitely see some success if it hits the right matchups, but maybe not quite there. I don't know what y'all think.
Yeah.
I'm fine with keeping it there. I mean, I think it's strong enough.
I do too.
I think it's strong enough for someone to figure it out.
Yeah, the pop-up potential, the pop-off potential, and then like you can just yoga loop going second. It's just disgusting.
Yeah. And it's like, yeah, I'll go second and third.
Yeah.
Have a nice day.
Let's see, some other looking through real quick. Is Arctina really the level of these and not quite a tier two?
I would say it's just better than Binette and Cloth.
Yeah.
Yeah, I
think
guess
you bumped it up to tier two.
If there's a 2.5, you know, yeah, but.
And yeah. Ting Lu really still down here with the mouse holds and the.
It ain't good.
And the Garbodors of the world.
Don't sleeve it up. Just leave it at the house.
Is there potential for it?
I mean, it beats Chen Pao. Has a tough time versus Guardy.
You may be able to beat Moon with it, and then like you know, Maridon's weak, and then you can give it 290 health. And tier three. That's tier three. You know, let's move it up. Let's move it. I've convinced myself.
Let's see anything else here. I mean, yeah, some of the other big hitters, right? You don't have any Lugias in tier one, any Lost Box in tier one.
No.
Oh, it's so hard to say, but no, I think some people are gonna play their deck plus Jirachi, and like that's how they win the late game is you know Sableye stuff.
I think the best deck in that tier one and a half column is Charizard. And I think it belongs in tier one.
Okay, yeah, you can put it in tier one.
Especially for a Brazilian meta, you know, a South American meta. Recent success in Curitiba.
I think we can break some of these tier ones out because I don't think that like Valiant and Charizard are on the same level as like Chen Pao and Maridon or Roaring Moon.
I think they are. I mean, I think that's the format. Like any of those seven decks can win the tournament.
Even extending to tier 1.5, any of those decks could win the tournament.
Well, I mean, yeah, I think Lugia always has a chance to win the tournament, you know.
Yeah.
The right Lost Tina list could win the tournament and a Lost Box list that's able to crack the code and maybe pull off some Devolution, maybe pull off the fighting type attacker, take back Iron Hands. I mean, you know.
Let me give you the scenario. Turn one, Iron Hands for three. Thank you. Have a nice day. I don't know. I think there's too much hands that Lugia isn't going to see success. That's personal opinion.
Oh, no. You have to, like, draw the nuts to, like, if you go second, you have to draw two generators and, like.
Well, you just go first and you attach to it. And you get a Mareep set up.
You can go first. But I'm saying, like, I don't know. It's rough either way, I think.
I mean, we can move Iron Valiant down if we think we need to move anything down. I think maybe that's the one that from the top column you could move down.
I'm okay with that. And I think if we're keeping Charizard up here, maybe it's just a little slight lean towards like a barrel build.
Right, I agree.
I think so too, yeah.
Yeah, and there's maybe, no Charizard barrel on this one, but yeah.
And maybe the Toad Scroll. Maybe we're seeing a little bit of that somewhere.
Yeah. I don't mind it. I think if you do that, you're cutting Jirachi. I don't think you have room for both.
Probably.
Yeah.
No. See, you play Arceus, right? You bench Manaphy, Jirachi, Toad Scroll,
Spiritomb.
Support. Yeah, Spiritomb. And
I know, yeah.
You know, second Arceus, and you're golden.
Yeah, chilling.
There you go. The Arc plus the little guys.
Yeah, Arc little guys.
Yeah, but I think this looks good for me. I'm happy with whatever this is.
So any other feedback on the list, y'all?
I think it's good. I mean, looking I think that DTE Mew is a little bit better than like Regis and Palkia and stuff, but like I don't know if I'd call it 1.5.
Yeah.
You know, I'll always support moving Mew up in the tier list, so
I think Goldango is better. I think Goldango is the best tier two deck.
Think so.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. I mean, like, I don't the know. Deck just like Bro, Vessels and Superior? I just...
But Judge Pat, Roxanne Path.
Okay,
you
sure.
Lose.
Who? Tina? The one deck doing it?
Mew?
Bro, stop.
Iono to one.
Mew is a lie.
You were just about to say it was turn zero, or tier zero.
Nobody plays Mew.
Bro, you were the one fighting for it to be in tier one.
Brought to you by bad matchup against Mew deck.
Yeah, I think it'll be really interesting to see. I mean, a lot of solid decks here again, right? We have the diverse format from last time, plus add a few.
Yeah.
Some kind of unproven decks in Iron Valiant where you say, hey, this seems pretty good in theory. We'll be able to perform well at a tournament. And Roaring Moon just tearing up the ladder right now. Is it as good as it says? And will it perform? And again, Iron Hands, is it as deadly as some people have feared online? So a lot going on and pretty cool to see. I'm excited to see how Brazil turns out and wishing Eric the best of luck as he heads
thanks.
Off there to come back with a win.
I leave in a week and not in 2 days. Kind of crazy. Mm. So looking forward to seeing everyone there, but that's it for this episode of the Beach Court Podcast. Thanks everyone for tuning in. We'll see you again in 2 weeks.
Yeah. See you later.
Have a good one, guys.